All right, Rabbi Sai, let's get started here.
Nevarech.
So we're going to start on 104A. No, actually, not the top line, no. We're on by Rabbi Yusti Bar Shunem, Bal Kumei Rav Mana. That's what we're up to. Okay? Tanina. So we have a contradiction. So what we said so far is, Gemara is going to ask a question which, without knowing this little piece of information, the question will make any sense. So I'm just going to tell you what the assumption that Gemara makes in the question. The assumption that Gemara makes is that when you have Kli Cheres, when it has Blios and it comes out of the Kli Cheres in the process of cooking, that is equivalent to having a collection of fluid on the bottom of the barrel. So if you hold that when you turn the barrel right side up and all the stuff sinks to the bottom and collects on the bottom, that's usur, then you couldn't possibly hold that someone who cooks something in a kli cheres, even after multiple washings, that it would be mutter. That's the question that we're going to ask now. Rabbi Yosti shouldn't bought kumi of mana. Tanninon imhir kino. Umitzes harais a truma. That if you incline the barrel after the three drops, and the remaining wine collected at the bottom, then it's truma. But omar hachein. And yet you say in this brisa that a kli cheres whose walls contain truma can be used to cook chulin. So this is a contradiction. A malay kanai deho or nigol viyotze. That it's different. That through the heated, putting hot water into the kli cheres, the assumption of the question was incorrect. That tom that comes out of the walls of the kli cheres is not equivalent to the collection on the bottom of the barrel. It's much less. Okay, and since truma is only drabon to begin with, so we have a cooler. Okay, next.
So wait a minute.
Yeah.
So the blia is coming out.
The blia from a kli cheres will come out, for the most part, with the first whatever. What do we call? We had three. We required it three times, something like that, right? Three times. So once you do it three times, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
So why is it that we have to break a kli cheres?
Obviously, this is only done by derabbanan. This is not going to be true by their rice.
This is a drabana?
This is a drabana. We've established that Truma's Manas has drabana.
Oh, Truma's Manas.
Yeah, that's what you have to say. Yeah. If you take a look at the brackets at the bottom of footnote 5, you'll see it says that the Gemara clearly assumes that the Mishnah, like the Brisa, discussed rabbinic Truma of the present day, not biblical truma of earlier times. Otherwise, there's no contradiction. There'd be no kasha, right? Okay. And as far as the other things are concerned, there's a whole discussion here in footnote 6, and it goes into variant A. So I'll just mention to you variant A a little bit, because it's an interesting thing. If you look at our Gemara, one could perhaps derive a rule that our Gemara holds, and whenever something is nisa drabanan, that it's shaykh to have hagala on kli cheres. That's where you're coming from. So it says from our Gemara it appears that it's only that the rule that it can that the kli cheres never can be cleansed is only regard to biblically prohibited substances, right? Now, some argue that this leniency is not applied with regard to all rabbinic prohibitions, only regard to those who shall like truma, which doesn't have a basis in the Torah. The din truma drabbanan has no, in other words, it's not to protect a din deraisa. Like Basraif B'cholov, that's to protect the din of Basra B'cholov. So that will have a stricter ruling. But Truma Drabanan, not okay. That's one over there. So we have two shitas. In variant A, he brings two shitas. In other words, one shita is across the board. You see that there's a chilek between the derais and the drabbanon. And then the secondary shita is only if the issa drabbanon is like truma, that it doesn't have, it's not to protect the din derais. Anyway, the halacha follows the latter view. It's only over here. Then he quotes a Rambam at the end of the at the end of it, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Rambam rules an earthenware pot that absorbed even biblical truma can be used to cook chulin with nothing more than a rinsing. He doesn't even require it to be boiled. Why? Because he says he makes it like a kal v'chomer. He learns our Mishnah is talking about a din d'oraisa. So if by a din d'oraisa we say that if you have after the three drops, you can go ahead and you can use the pot. So surely, if it's absorbed, that's an interesting footnote. Okay, let's go on. Shmar shel truma. Let's suppose you have lees, they call them, which is the sediment, right? The pieces of grape at the bottom of the barrel. Harishim hasheni aser. So if you pour water over the lees, the first pouring and the second pouring are both aser, but the third one is mutter, because by that time it is so diluted that it's not considered anything at all. That's if you put water into it and extract the taste from the lees using water. If all you did was you pressed the lees and squeezed them out, then it wouldn't make a difference how many times you did it. Then I feel a shlishi osir, even the third time would be osir, because that's obviously more of a concentrate.
Well, I'm sorry, what is that one that's osir?
If you didn't use water to extract the taste, but you squeezed the lees with a press to extract whatever juices were inside of them,
so you
that would be osir regardless.
Even if you did it one and two?
Even one, two, and three. Okay, the difference is three. One and two is osir by water. Three is mutter. One, two, and three are osir if you're only using the li itself without any water, without any cleanser. Okay, shemar shel ma'aser sheni, and if it's ma'aser sheni, this was truma so far. What if the li's are of ma'aser sheni origin? So then you have a little bit of a cooler. Rishon osir, sheni mutter. So only one watering will be osir, but the second watering is mutter. This is kind of like because Ma'aser Sheni is less chomer on Isser than Truma, which obviously carries with it more chomerous. Remeir Oimer Hasheni Benoisin Tam, that if you taste the taste of the li in the water, even the second one would also be Isser. The question, of course, is what about the third one? If it has a taste, there seems to be an indication here, in 13 footnote 13 in the end of the footnote, it says that in the Bavli version, Remeir prohibits also a third pouring. Okay, so it's not exactly clear over there.
Well, you're saying Tom is no saying Tom.
That's what you would think. Yeah, that's what you would think. Rabbi Yochanan Moshe Shimon Yotzana Kakodesh Kiminyona. Now let's suppose the lees were of a hektish origin, right? So here, there's going to be a big discussion over here, next page. So then, Kiminyono. There's a big footnote 15 over here to explain this Gemara. Just to get to the short of it, there's two ways to learn this hektish. This hektish could be hektish Mizbeach, or it could be hektish Perek Habayis. So, I know everybody's tired. You're working hard cleaning up for Pesach. You're trying to help out. Okay? So if you have, so one is Kedushas HaGuf, and one is Kedushas Mamon, Kedushas Perek HaBayis. So there's a Shiloh exactly when the Gemara says Lees of Hektish, just Kiminyono is like its count. Number of its pourings. So the way, if it's Hektish, Kedushas HaGuf, then Kiminyono means that it doesn't matter how many times you pour it. It's an Isser Hanah. You can't be benefit from it no matter how many times you pour water over it. Okay? That would be a Chumra by Hektish. The alternative shot over here is that it's Dushas Domin. And then what he says is a little different. It's a little bit more of a complex thing. What is kiminyano? What count are we talking about exactly? So let's see what this means. The first three steepings are all prohibited because the leaves are consecrated. The rabbis extended the decree to include even the third steeping. Okay. Now, what is kiminyano got to do with three? Why did it say kiminyano like the countings? So now the next paragraph, he goes into the Hilchos Toma, right? There's a Rishon L'Toma, Sheni L'Toma, Shlishi L'Toma, and Revi. When it comes to food, Revi is only by Kachem, Shlishi is by Truma, Sheni is by Chulin, Rishon by everything. So you have a Rishon can be Matami, a Sheni can be Matami, a Shlishi can be Matami, Revi, but a Revi cannot be Matami anything else. So the most number of Tumah that could be expanded to another object is three levels, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. Because the Rishon can be Matami, the Sheni can be Matami, the Shlishi can be Matami, the Revi. But Revi can't do it, so there's only three levels. Therefore, Kiminyano, they say, like its count, so the Gemara is comparing Hilchos Tumah to this halacha of how many times you can pour water over the leaves. Go and figure what this means. Who knows?
Who's pouring the water over the leaves?
Somebody.
The Kohen?
Anybody. Doesn't matter.
And the Kohen still considers this food.
That's the issue over here. I mean, if you're talking about Truma, the Truma case?
Yeah, Truma, right.
The Truma case, which was two cases ago, that case was Nagea, the Kohen. Obviously, the Tzar could eat that water. It's going to be totally in how many times he did it. We said that one and two was Osir by water, but the third one is Mutra. That means that it's Mutra for the...
No, I'm saying the pressing, without the water.
Without the water, we said it's always Osir.
It's always
Osir. We're only moving Mutra to the Kohen. Okay? Chasen Shel Zav. Here's one which is, okay... We're all, it's not exactly the most,
sterile.
Let's put it like this. So you have a zov. A zov is zovs. The fluids that come out of the zov are all tomei. In fact, there are some tomei that you're tomei just by carrying them. So if a zov urinates into a klicheras, and the klicheras absorbs his urine. And you carry a broken piece of it says it's broken, it's not exactly clear why it uses that example, but that's the example it uses. So you have a broken piece of klicheras. You carry that klicheras, you are tome, because the urine is absorbed in the shard, and therefore is matamiyu. However, if you rinse it out with water, that's what it's saying over here.
Because the shard is an avatoma, right? Otherwise, couldn't
only be because of the urine. We're going to say now, right? So it says karsan shel zav rishon tomei. The first time it's washed, it's still going to be tomei. Visheni, but once it's washed a second time, tohar. Then already, if you carry it, it'll be tohar. Okay? Medvar amurim shasal second mite. That's if you use water as your cleanser. But what if you used other urine? So this is a urinal thing, right? So other people who are tahar are coming in there, urinating into this urinal, and that'll wash out, presumably, the urine of the zov, right? We're gonna get out of this in a second. But the problem is that the urine of the tahar person, as soon as it touches that shard, the urine will be makabel tuma from the urine of the zav, because min bemino is loy bottle, and therefore it's never going to work.
I thought the person becomes tame now.
What?
Doesn't the person become tame now? Does his urine touch the urine of the urinal?
No.
And it's still attached to him. Why wouldn't he become
tame? No, that's called, the Gemara of the Zohar calls that nitzuk eino chibur. When you are.
Expelling.
We have a stream, it's not considered chibur. Okay. So, a filo asiri told me, it says that there, even the 10th one is telling me. Okay, next. Tami b'trumas meiser. Now, how much of trumas meiser do you have in order to be responsible to call the Kohen to come pick it up? We said a sixth of.
You said it was a tiny
a
amount.
An eighth of an eighth, 1/64th of 6 eggs, right? That's what we said, right?
So the Gemara asks,
if you have less than that, what can you do with it? So you don't have to call a Kohen, right? So what do you do with it? So the Gemara says, if you don't, Rabbi Yudin, who was the nephew, he's the son of the sister, right? So it's the nephew of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, said in the name of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, and here's my big question of the night. How come the first Chanina is spelled with a hey, and the second Chanina is spelled with an aleph? Yeah, that's the same person, no? Or is it maybe not the same person?
So then,
what?
Why one of the hey and one of the
aleph? Yeah.
Not the same person.
If it's the same person, why would it be spelled differently?
Why do you say it's the same person?
Why do I say it's the same person?
Yiddish and Hebrew.
I don't know. I just, just something I noticed. Pachas mikain, if it's less than this amount, noisim b'neiro, you can place it into your lamp and burn it. This is a very interesting rule over here that, we're talking about Trumas Meiser of the Mai, which is Tomei. So contaminated Truma must be burned. Generally, it's burned by the Kohen who receives it. In this case, the Truma is the Mai. It's very small in size. You don't give it to the Kohen himself. So the Yisrael burns it and he... So the question is, can the Yisrael actually benefit from it? So this would depend on two gersos. So when we say our gersa, the way we have it, is no snow b'neiro, put it in your candle. That sounds like the Yisrael can benefit from it. But the Gra changes the gersa. He says, no snow, but or you don't put it in your candle, you put it into fire. Because you're actually, there's no way you could benefit from it because you're the Yisrael. How could you benefit from burning truma of any kind? So therefore, they reject it. Anyway, so that's a shayla. Kitzur, you burn it.
What does he say you do?
You just burn it.
Throw it in the fire.
Throw it into the fire.
As opposed to
putting it into your fire, which is underneath your coffee pot.
Or lighting up your house.
Or lighting your house, yeah. Okay. Next, Rabbi Yanni B'Shem Yudot. We're on 104b now. Kuf Dalam on the base. Rabbi Yanni says, but Oichel, regarding food that's trumas meiser of demai. So in other words, we gave the liquid measure, now we're going to give the dry measure. It's Ba'echel K'dei Lavash, K'dei Beitza Kala. It's an easily cooked egg, it's a hen's egg. If you have food of trumas meiser of demai that's less than a hen's egg, then again, you don't have to give it to the Kohen, you can burn it. Hadad de Tamar, that's, whenever we're talking about this, we're talking about where it's Tomei. Talking about Trumas Meiser of Demai, that's Tomeo. Ha, Kebetza. And likewise, when you said that if it's less than an egg's volume, that's Tomei. Again, Tomei. Right? So it's dry, whether it's wet, whether it's dry, doesn't matter. We're talking about Tomei. But Tahar, if it was Tahar, then there's no shear. Afilo Kol Shehu, Sarech Lahatzer, you have to give it to the Kohen. B'Demai. It's only by Tamai, Avo Bavadai, if it's Vadai Truma, then Bein Tamai, Bein Tahar, Bein Rov, Bein Ma'on, Tzarech L'Hachzer. Okay, so it's very limited. This distinction of the 1/64th is only by Tamai and only by Tamai. Okay, next. Okay, this is a big Yesodis Dika Mishnah, this Mishnah. Okay, it's quoted in Avodah Zarah, it's quoted in Yevamos. I'm sure you remember this. This was the sugya of Avodah Zarah. The shaila was, just to remind you, because I know you forgot, but there's a shaila over there of Skiris Kanya. Let's suppose a Kohen goes ahead and rents my cow, right? And he has truma feed. Can he feed the cow, my cow, that he rented, could he feed a truma? If it's his own cow, he can feed a truma. He's allowed to feed his own cow truma. King of Kaspar, right? But what if it's my cow that he rents this? And the Gemara says, "Beferish." Asur lahakil behem toshe Yisrael shesachro kohen meha Yisrael truma. Because skirus lo kanyan. Skirus is not kanyan.
What's the reason? Logic. What's the reason?
What do you mean? It's not kinyan kaspo.
But it's not. Is it having hana? He's not having hana from it.
What the animal? Yeah. Your animal.
You don't have.
You
to
can't.
Feed
you're not allowed to feed your. It's like giving a czar.
Right, but at the time that he has it.
The time that who has what?
That the coin has it.
Has the animal?
Yeah.
Skiros loy kanya. That's what I just said.
I understand that. I'm trying to understand why.
Why what? Just, why skiros loy kanya?
For it's always a rule, no matter what.
So some say that. Well, we're going to see it in a second, but some say that if it's a she'ela, if he's a shoel, so they are kol hanashalo, he's kind of an oinsin, he's kind of an avay, he's kind of an mukriya, he's kind of in so many things, that's already considered like it's his.
Right.
And in that case, he would be able to feed it. The Gemara is talking about stira specifically.
Because he's paying for it. Why is that on this one? Why is that? Because he's renting.
Renting for something doesn't mean it's yours. It means that you have the right to use it. That's all. You have a right to use the animal, but you don't have a key in the goof of the animal. That would be enough to be considered.
Is that only true for this situation, for a kain, skir lakanya, across the board in every situation? For example, if somebody rents his house to a guy, he has not machoyim for the chametz on Pesach.
Someone rents. Okay, you're not renting the chametz, you're renting the place. So, it's not the game.
It's my place. I got to have chametz in the place.
I'm sorry. Let me make sure I understand your case. What are you renting?
I'm the Jew, you're the guy.
Okay, I'll be the guy. Let's make it simple. I'll be the guy.
I rent you my house for the year.
Okay.
All
right. And whose chametz is in the house? My chametz?
Yeah, but it's my house.
So what? You're not hiding from my chametz in your house.
Why not?
Bali Ra, Bali Matzah? No. Gemara says it's beferish. Okay, let's go weiter. No, but it's good that we're bringing in Hilchas Pesach now. Very good. Okay, 1 second. Yeah, so, Kashina Chuma. Oh, the Mishnah. Halacha 5. Kashina Chuma. So, it's bitter vetch Chuma. So, we're talking about a type of food which in the footnotes say that normally this food is dedicated for animals. Humans don't usually eat this unless it is a very, very dire circumstance, such as famine. Okay? Otherwise, you would never eat this vetch. So, Machil Oisan, Lebehema Lechayelot, and Agam, what?
Send it to Gaza.
Yeah, one may feed it to behemoths, chayas, or chickens belonging to a kohen. Okay? Yisrael shesachar parmei kohen. Now, if you have a Jew renting the cow from the kohen, so it's the kohen's cow. Machilin machila kashina truma. Then the Yisrael can feed the cow the truma because, after all, the cow belongs to the kohen and skiras loikanya, so it's not his cow. The kohen shesachar parmei Yisrael. Of course, the other way around. Afmishum zonsel alel. Although, even though he has the responsibility to feed the animal, still, lo yachilana kashina truma, he's not allowed to feed her the thing. Okay, now the last case here is the other thing. The Mishnah sets forth a case in which Yisrael accepts unconditional responsibility for the return at present value of an animal borrowed from a kohen. Okay, that means, so I said shoel, but our word in our Mishnah is shesham, which means that he praises the cow. What I'm doing is, I come to borrow you. You'll be Mr. Cohn, and I come to you to borrow your cow. And at the time that I take the cow from you, I evaluate it and tell you whatever that cow is worth now, guaranteed to return to you at that value. If anything happens to it, I will replace that value. So because of my responsibility, that's what it says. Then, because I own the cow now, so it's not I'm a Yisrael, so therefore cannot feed it. The other way around, he can. Okay?
What Why do you own the count out if you appraise it?
Because I appraised it and accepted the all depreciation.
And therefore?
Therefore, it becomes like it's mine.
You don't have to return it?
I have to return it, of course. But that's the whole idea.
And I'm responsible for it.
More responsibility you have, the more kenyan you have in it. I refer you to the Gemara in Kedushin. Minayin levachayv shekayna mashken. Remember the Gemara? Minayin levachayv shekayna mashken. How do you know that if I lend you money, and you give me a mashken, right? You give me a pillow. And the rule is that I have to return to you the pillow at night. That if I do that, Pasuk says, Ulchoti et staka. It'll be considered staka that I gave it to you. Where it says, Minayin levachayv shekayna mashken. How do I know that the baal chayv is kayna the pillow? Because the Pasuk says, Ulchoti et staka. Im ein kayna, staka minayin. So it must be that I have a kinyan in that thing. Now, right over there on the spot, you will notice there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos all over. What when it says kayna mashken, does it mean he's kayna lehischayev ba'einsin? I think that's what Tosfos says. That you're chayev even in the einsin that happened to it. As Rashi says, Gnev Aved, I think. The pshat, though, in Tosfos is very clear. The Gemara means that once I have a responsibility that it goes all the way up to the einus level, that's already a kinyan, right? So that's going to be a big yesod, and you always look out for that yesod. When we consider something, the more responsibility I have for something, the more it's considered mine. And with this, we'll end. Have a good night, Rabbi Sai.